From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight on this Thanksgiving Eve. Coming up, the Calicoon Theater showing The Wizard of Oz tomorrow evening. It's a treat for the community, and all that they're asking for are donations to help keep our neighbors fed and warm. Patricio Robayo talks with Chrissy Smith of the Calicoon Theater in the second half of the program. And as we get ready for our big in-person music sale Saturday, and as we also watch the final day of bidding on the super rare Beatles Butcher cover and other items in our online music auction, I talked to Eric Calero, music fan, record collector, and host of the YouTube channel Vinyl Rewind. Both of those stories are coming up in the second half of the program, and in just a minute we have a special report from Kimberly Izar on how hotel housing is failing disabled New Yorkers. But first, we have a story involving the New York State Police, who are investigating whether some top state police commanders used their positions to gain access to VIP areas of the Ryder Cup. WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind has more.
State Police Superintendent Stephen James is requesting two executive staffers resign, an agency spokesperson says. He also ordered an investigation into whether they used their positions to gain admission to the golf tournament. The Albany Times-Union reports Deputy Superintendent Christopher West and Colonel Darren Pitkin will retire. The newspaper says it reviewed photos of the two troopers in VIP areas. The men didn't return messages seeking comment. The Ryder Cup took place in September in Bethpage State Park on Long Island. Top U.S. and European golfers faced off over a three-day tournament. Almost 250,000 people attended, including President Trump and Governor Kathy Hochul. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and at least one turkey will not be served because that turkey got his feathered tail a pardon from New York's governor. Again, here's WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
With a few dozen kids watching, Governor Kathy Hochul formally pardoned a turkey on the eve of Thanksgiving. Bandits sat quietly during the ceremony at the state executive mansion as the governor read a proclamation.
So, Bandit, you are now officially off the menu. You've buttered up our crowd. You've mashed the competition. You've shown you will not crumble like a pie under pressure.
Kelly Grab raised the bird in Rensselaer County. She says he stood out from the flock with his pleasant demeanor.
After this, he'll get to come home and be a pet, run around in the yard on the farm, and hopefully live a nice little life with us.
Bandit, who won't be gobbled, declined to gobble. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Thank you to the New York Public News Network for those reports. And now our feature story for tonight. A recent Sullivan County Health report revealed that more than 300 adults and children were living in emergency housing as of November 5th. Among them are residents with disabilities, who often face increased barriers to securing accessible housing. These hotels for housing shelters have increasingly become New York State's primary way to shelter homeless families, despite offering no wraparound support services. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar spoke with residents experiencing homelessness and housing experts about the challenges that disabled New Yorkers face, some of whom are concerned that counties are failing to provide accessible services.
Jen Duncan is wearing five jackets and three layers of pants to stay warm. As freezing rain drops against the roof of her tent outside the Knights Inn, she tells me how she's feeling on a cold November afternoon.
Too much energy. I'm weak. It hurts all my joints. Burning now. Yeah. Burning joint pain through the roof.
And it hurts. Your joint pain is through the roof right now. The pain.
I can't sit. I can't concentrate.
Duncan has a chemical brain condition called solvent-induced toxic encephalopathy. When she's around chemicals like cleaners, traffic fumes, and mold buildup, she loses motor, cognitive, and neurological function.
I'm losing speech till late at night, and then I tried my energy for food and basic survivability. And they're not understanding, they're not believing. The extra things are getting, I can't maintain connections with people like I could before.
Duncan has been placed at the Knights Inn in Liberty, one of the emergency housing motels Sullivan County uses for unhoused adults and children. But she says her room is not wheelchair accessible and has toxic chemicals that exacerbate her disability. She says she needs to stay outside the Knights Inn until Sullivan County's Department of Social Services, or DSS, can provide her a medically accessible room without excessive chemicals.
They're not giving me what I need to function, and not just me. Other people, even here in wheelchair, not even basic accessibility in their rooms.
For more than 15 years, Sullivan County has used a patchwork system of placing unhoused people in hotels and motels across Liberty and Monticello. But some disabled adults say that the accommodation is not only inaccessible, but dangerous to their health. And it's not just Sullivan County. An investigation by New York Focus found that statewide spending on hotels more than tripled from 2018 to 2024, far exceeding spending on family shelters and transitional housing. A 2024 report from Pattern for Progress shows that households are staying longer in hotels in Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, and Sullivan counties. Radio Catskill spoke to Jen Duncan over the course of more than 3 months. You'll hear her voice slur or speed up as her condition evolves throughout this story. Here's Duncan back in September, showing me how she uses the bathroom.
You'll notice the wheelchair does not fit in the bathroom. The doors here are very narrow, only a little more than a couple feet, perhaps.
She says she's wearing a mask to protect herself from any indoor chemicals like paint solvents and glues.
So I have to line myself up, haul myself as close as I can, and then use my arms to heist my body over about a yard and a half or so to the commode. And hold on to the counter by the sink. So if somebody's here helping me, they usually help me count so I can get my momentum and
okay.
My rhythm.
Do you want me to count off?
Sure. Just count.
Three, two, one?
No, one.
Oh.
Go, count up.
Up.
Uh-huh.
One, two, three.
Duncan's wheelchair stays outside the bathroom since the chairs of her wheelchair don't fit through the narrow door. Inside the bathroom, there's mold spots and water damage on the ceilings. There's also no bar or shower chair for her to use.
Have you been able to bathe since you're not able to get a chair in here?
Not in here, no. There's a lot of water damage. You can see spots. You can see mold. You can see peeling wallpaper with probable mold behind it.
Other rooms that Radio Catskill observed had missing light bulbs and mold growth. Sullivan County Health and Human Services Commissioner John Little said in an email that the county could not speak to specific details of any cases due to client privacy and confidentiality, but that they work to ensure no one in the county is forced to live in an unsheltered environment. Little wrote that while they won't speak to any specific room problems, Sullivan County performs detailed inspections of hotels used as emergency shelters every 6 months as required by state regulations. He also said that DSS staff check in with clients weekly and field any concerns directly to hotel operators. Duncan says she has been in contact with Little and DSS to complete necessary housing paperwork and to create a non-toxic housing environment, but it's been challenging and slow.
Where I see people struggling is not being able to do the forms and paperwork, assemble documents that are required, not getting clear information from DSS, not getting support to follow through on things that take a certain amount of organizational abilities.
Commissioner Little has publicly criticized the limitations of the county's hotel for housing model. Here's Little back in May when he advocated in support of building a new gateway housing center so that Sullivan County could be less reliant on using hotels and motels.
The reason we work on this so hard is because Sullivan County has been told for many years that we need to be rethinking. We need to not use hotels. Unfortunately, I don't have that option right now because we have so many people that we are housing working with 8 different hotels across the county.
Dr. Sharon McLennan-Weir says that regardless of if it's a shelter or a hotel, temporary housing needs to be accessible.
Because, I mean, what's the point of getting a place if it can't accommodate your needs?
Weir is the executive director of disability advocacy nonprofit, the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York. The organization is based in New York City, but advocates for the needs of all New Yorkers statewide. She says many people navigating homelessness are disabled and need a variety of accommodations.
We have people that may need a reader to help them, you know, like navigate their activities of daily living, like opening reading mail. Maybe they have a learning disability. Maybe they have they suffer, you know, have vision loss. So these things we hear about that is not being given in within the shelter system. So that makes the person not necessarily able to live independently within the shelter system.
She says it's the responsibility of both county agencies and hotel operators to fulfill the contract they agreed to provide safe and accessible accommodation.
The first level of protection, if we go back to Maslow, hierarchy of needs, is that you need food, shelter, and survival, so to speak, right? And if you can get basic shelter, either from what you're able to keep your own place, or if you have to go into a shelter system or some sort of rental hotel kind of situation that's being paid by someone else, if that's not accessible or even livable, then that's a problem.
In 2024 alone, Sullivan County shelled out nearly $3.5 million in hotels and motels.
These private-owned businesses also need to be held accountable, because it seems as if you are serving a group of participants that are poor, especially, we see this within folks that are poor, the level of service in housing is very deficient.
Stephen Robert Boynton is also homeless and lives at the Knights Inn. He says he started using a wheelchair in October after getting into a fight with a former roommate.
I got stabbed in this knee by accident, and I just can't walk. I can't apply pressure to this leg. It bothers me to put weight on it, is what it is.
To get into his room, Boynton rolls his wheelchair through the entrance of the room, where there's a loose carpet cut that is difficult to get his wheelchair over. Like Jen Duncan, he can't fit his wheelchair through the bathroom.
Yeah, it's too small.
To the bathroom.
Yeah.
So then how do you go to the bathroom? You kind of have to...
I got to stop here, crawl over to tile work, and then hang on to the sink base and slide over to the toilet.
And then you just leave the wheelchair out.
Yeah, wheelchair sits right there, right outside.
All of Boynton's room is carpeted, which his wheelchair often gets snagged on. He says he also still hasn't received his November SNAP benefits. He had a mostly empty fridge when I visited him, only two tomatoes and a bottle of mayo in his fridge. The closest supermarket to the Knights Inn is the ShopRite on Route 52, about a half a mile down the road. But for someone using a wheelchair, the trip will take longer or not be possible at all. Still, Boynton says he's checking with his caseworker for any SNAP updates. He doesn't have a phone, so he's been borrowing a neighbor's phone to make phone calls.
I've tried calling my worker several times and get no calls back. It's like right now I have no food stamps. I have absolutely nothing.
Boynton says more accountability is needed from Sullivan County to provide accessible housing.
These people do not have regulations to this place. They need to be monitored more by the government. I was serving in the Army for, like I said, 2 to 3 years and never had problems like this.
Duncan agrees, saying that the county needs to step up to ensure the motel is actually providing accessible shelter.
They don't think they can have the motel do anything, but they are allowed to give directives for anything using federal funds. You're using federal funds, you're bound by the laws and regulations, including accommodation for disabled people.
Radio Catskill reached out to Sonesta Hotels and Resorts, the franchising corporation that owns all Knights Inn hotels, but we did not hear back before the story aired. As of Monday, November 24th, Duncan says she's still in her tent outside, which is just steps away from the highway and under several windows with cannabis and cigarette smoke. Her bedding is now wet from the rain and snow the past month, and she's now wearing 6 layers of clothes to stay warm, especially as most nights drop below freezing temperatures. She said the current situation she's found herself in was preventable.
With food, with fresh air, with basic, with aid, with meds, oh, meds down too. It's preventable.
In Liberty, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill.
Thank you, Kimberly, for that report. We have an update on this story It was first broadcast on Radio Chatskill earlier this week. And since then, Stephen Boynton, who you heard in the story, says that just today, the Department of Social Services provided a shower chair and toilet seat riser for extra mobility support for him. He also clarified that he did receive his November 2025 SNAP payment as a lump sum with his October payment, but he was unaware of that until DSS emailed him the day that this story originally ran.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
It is The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. The Calhoun Theater is hosting a Thanksgiving event for families tomorrow evening at 7:30, and all they're asking folks to do is bring a warm coat or pantry item to help neighbors in need. It's a simple idea with a big impact. Enjoy a fun night out, support families right here in Sullivan County, and along the way, relive what for many of us was a long-running tradition, watching Wizard of Oz on Thanksgiving. Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio spoke with Chrissy Smith from the Calhoun Theater earlier today.
It certainly hasn't been lost on me what's been going on with the government and with the SNAP payments. I've been witnessing, I think we all have been witnessing, a lot of local small businesses who have really stepped up and put themselves out there as spaces to receive donations for, you know, your local food pantry, your local church, which is collecting food, and all sorts of nonprofits and organizations that exist in our area, that I think there's been a real recognition that we need to kind of all come together mutually and support these spaces. So it was a combination of that, wanting to do something around that. And also, you know, normally I'm not in town on Thanksgiving and I would be down in the city with my family, but this year I happen to be home. So it seemed like a really fun idea to just put something up on the screen, make it free. I know by 7:30 at night, a lot of the times everybody's full and they kind of want to get out and get a little fresh air. And, you know, maybe you're tired of having the TV on all day and you want to go out and see a movie. So it's a free movie. It's at 7:30. And we're just asking that people bring a donation, something canned or jarred food. I've been speaking with Marty over with salt, and he said, you know, peanut butter, jelly, jarred sauces, canned soups, you know, non-perishable items are really what's ideal. Anything that's shelf stable for a while would be ideal. And if that's not possible, but maybe you have some gently used winter clothing, you could also bring that as a donation. Now, you don't have to bring a donation. You can see a free movie at the Calhoun Theater on Thanksgiving at 7:30, whether or not you bring a donation. Nobody's going to demand this, but we will have a large box and we'll be taking donations for anybody who can do so.
Yeah, and that sort of led to my question is, what organization would these stuff be going to? But you mentioned Marty and Salt, so I'm sure it's going to go to that organization and how they distribute things.
Yeah, the food will all end up at Salt through the cooperative, and then any, you know, if you're not able to bring food and you can bring warm clothing, we'll be giving that to the Federation for the Homeless.
Yeah. And of course you're doing Wizard of Oz and, you know, the Wizard, the Wicked, I forget the title already.
Yes. Wicked for Good movie has been really popular, but that's not what we're watching on Thanksgiving.
Right. You're watching the,
I was keeping it under wraps for a while, but we might as well let the secret out. The movie on Thanksgiving at 7:30 is going to be the classic 1939 Wizard of Oz starring Judy Garland.
So, you know, you're such a big part of the community, not only because of the Calico Theater, but your outreach with the community. What would you say to someone who's never donated before, but is thinking about it and about bringing something this year and, you know, thinking about folks who are in need during this holiday season?
Well, I mean, I guess if I were thinking in any direction about that, I would say that a lot of people have weekend houses, country houses, and they're up here enjoying this beautiful area. But maybe your kids go to school in the city, or maybe, you know, you spend much of your week somewhere else, right? But I think that it's important to recognize one of the things that makes this area so great is that we take care of each other. We try to take care of each other here, and these are, we're a series of small towns and hamlets, but, you know, overall, Sullivan County really tries to come together in a lot of different ways. And I think if you're visiting from out of town, it's a really helpful way to sort of give back to this community that, you know, and keep it great and keep it a wonderful place that you love to visit.
And it says it's a free event, so which is really special. I think it's a gift to the community that you're doing that. And at the same time, getting those donations for the food pantry and clothing. So again, I think it's fantastic that what you're doing. So
thank you. Yeah. And again, it's you don't have to bring a donation to get into the movie. It's going to be free no matter what. And the space is going to be fun. We've got 350 seats. So we hope a lot of people come out and enjoy this classic movie. But if you can, bring some pantry items or a warm piece of clothing. And we at the Calican Theater will make sure that those donations get where they need to go.
After the Thanksgiving, is the Calican Theater planning anything else for the holidays?
Well, that's sort of under wraps right now, but we are hoping to. I'm actually like really booked up in December. I didn't expect to be, but we have a ton of, we've got a fundraiser coming up. We're going to screen Home Alone on, oh my goodness, I'm going to forget the date, but I think it's December 11th, and that's a fundraiser for the local high school for Sullivan County, Sullivan West. And so I know that that's on the slate. I've also got a ton of like private rentals. If people don't know, you can book the movie theater just for your family to come and watch a movie. So I'm pretty booked up with a lot of those, but I am trying to get something, which is a thing I usually do at the movie theater, which is a screening of It's a Wonderful Life, which will also be free. I just haven't figured out which day I can squeeze it in, but it'll likely be the week before Christmas. And just stay tuned, stay looking at our socials for that, and we'll try to get it on the calendar as soon as possible.
Oh, that's great. Great. So thank you so much for this, Chrissy. Anything else before we go? Or
no, just, you know, support your local cinema. We've got Wicked 2. Or Wicked for Good, as it's called, and that's playing for the next couple weeks. We've got Zootopia 2, which is a fun animated picture for the kids. That's coming in December. And then we have an A24 picture called Marty Supreme, which is probably going to be an Oscar darling, and that opens Christmas Day.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we'll talk.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet plays a ping pong superstar.
Yeah, I've been watching the trailer. And I was like, wow, I never knew ping pong could be that dramatic. And
it's supposed to be riveting.
So that's awesome. That's great. You got some good events coming up. That's awesome. So Chrissy Smith from the Calicoan Theater. They're having their free Thanksgiving Day event, which starts at 7:30. You don't have to, but they kindly ask you if you could bring a gently used coat or pantry item to help a neighbor in need. For more details, you can visit the Calicoan Theater online or follow them on social media. So, Chrissy, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Patrizio. I will see you at the record sale.
Yes, definitely. All right, awesome. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. In Liberty, I'm Patrizio Arroyo for Radio Catskill.
Well, thank you, Patrizio. Before we go tonight, I want to take a moment again to remind you about our two musical fundraisers that are just almost overlapping here. Our online music auction, it's happening now. It goes until Friday afternoon. And then the next day, it's our big annual music sale in person at the Liberty Mall on Saturday. Which means, by the way, if you win something in our music auction online and you are in the area, you have the option of picking it up in person on Saturday if you so choose. One of the biggest items in our online music auction is that infamous Beatles Butcher cover. It's big because it is rare, and we do hope it will fetch a good sum to support Radio Catskill. It's also a big deal for me personally because I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I'm the one who discovered this particular record in a box of donations after 2 decades of searching. I've been looking for this record for many years, and I actually found it. And now it's up there for auction. And this past weekend, someone online commented on a Radio Catskill post about this record that we did not actually have a Butcher cover. And to be sure, it doesn't look like it at first glance if you don't know what to look for. But it is a Butcher cover of the Yesterday and Today album that was recalled and had a nice non-Butcher cover pasted over it. But the original is still underneath there, and it's still rare. It's still collectible. Still highly sought after. To help explain what I meant to this commenter online, I shared this video from YouTube channel Vinyl Rewind. Here's a clip.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the program. Now, many of you have heard me tell the story about how I thought for many years I owned a run-of-the-mill copy of Yesterday and Today, the Beatles compilation album from 1966. And it wasn't until years later when I got more into the hobby of collecting vinyl that I learned about the cover-up And that's when I noticed a small amount of black just barely peeking through the white space. In that moment, this record became priceless to me. On today's program, we're going to be diving into more than you wanted to know about collecting the Beatles Butcher cover.
The rest of that video is up on YouTube. It's called How to Spot a Butcher Cover, a vinyl buying guide from Vinyl Rewind, featuring the Vinyl Geek. But I had a similar moment when I discovered that I had that record. He didn't even realize he had such a valuable record for years. I wanted to talk more with the Vinyl Geek about this, the Vinyl Geek, a.k.a. Eric Calero, and also to have a little fun here on the holiday, maybe get him to talk about his YouTube channel to you folks. So yesterday, we each took a break from our mutually crazy busy weeks to talk a little bit about the Beatles and the joy of collecting records. Eric Calero, welcome to the Local Edition.
Yeah, happy to be here.
You had the Beatles Butcher cover in your collection and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been collecting since, well, really collecting since I was a teenager. So, and this was like the 90s. So like oftentimes like my friend's parents would just give me records and my dad would get records at garage sale. So like I would always end up just with records and I just didn't really think about the value of them, you know. I just thought, oh, this is cool. I like the Beatles. I like this. So it was only after I started getting into the collecting world. I got one of those gold mine books. They don't even make them anymore, but they were like these, another antiquated analogy, the phone book. It was the size of a phone book.
Yeah.
You know, and it just had like price guides and stuff like that, or lists of what records go for. And I was kind of shocked. I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then they had this whole full color spreadsheet of like how to identify, and it just sent me down this rabbit hole.
You cover all different types of music, but you do put a big focus on the Beatles, and I'm wondering like why that is and how that works for you.
Yeah, I mean, I try to balance it out, but I noticed early on in when I'm making the YouTube videos that the videos about Beatles tended to do better, and you know, I don't really get paid necessarily for the videos I make other than YouTube ad revenue. So it's like, you know, you kind of have to do a little bit about what you want, a little bit what people want. And thankfully, you know, I love talking about the Beatles and I find them endlessly fascinating. But it does bring audiences, you know, the audiences all over the world. And that's kind of the power of the Beatles. So that's the main reason why is that they just tend to do well, and that just helps my channel overall, and it allows me to do, you know, a little more esoteric things that I want to do.
Right, right.
You know,
you're going where the audience is. You're following the audience's interest as well. It says to me that, like, you know, younger generations are getting into this music as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, I talk to younger musicians and younger people all the time, and it's just so much easier now. The accessibility is right there. You know, when we're growing up, you were limited by what your parents had, what your friends had, what you could afford to buy at the record store, and maybe what you heard on the radio. And now it's just like you can listen to anything at any time. So you do need some help, some guidance. I think that's where we're at now, and that's what I try to do.
All right. Well, thanks again for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And yeah, best of luck with the auction. I hope it goes for a lot of money to help you guys out.
Huge thanks to Eric of Vinyl Rewind for talking to us and for helping spread the word about Radio Catskills online auction. Eric is the Vinyl Geek. His channel is up on YouTube. It's Vinyl Rewind. The Beatles record still at about $400 this afternoon, the one that's in our auction. We'll see if we get more for it. Check out our online music auction. Follow the link at wjffradio.org. This record was my once-in-a-lifetime record bin find, and I love that it is on auction right now. The records that Radio Catskills sells helps us fund this radio station. I love the fact that my personal love of the Beatles will help fund my professional love, which is making this program, making local news, having local conversations. We're going to sell this Beatles disc and all the other items in our music auction and everything at the big music sale on Saturday to keep the station going despite certain political folks trying to silence us, despite them defunding and dismantling the nonpartisan Corporation for Public Broadcasting, despite them taking away 24% of our budget. We sell music to battle nonsense like that. We sell donated music to keep the community entertained in the good times and informed in emergencies. All of the items in our music sales come from the community. They go back to the community, and they allow us to continue serving the community. It goes round and round, just like a record. Be a part of the cycle. Bid on our music auction. It's live now at WJFFradio.org. Come to our music sale in Liberty on Saturday. Bring a friend. Bring cash or Venmo. And if you can't be there or you can't bid, remember, you can always help us out by spreading the word. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Patricio's on the Local Edition tomorrow. I'll be at both. I'll be hosting both Chatskill and the Local Edition on Friday. And then I'll just see you at the music sale. The Daily is up next. This is Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.